article I want to share with you comes October the 23rd. Again, another story from the 23rd, this time from the Washington Post. U.S. official holds talks in India on the aid row. There was a big fight about the arms to Pakistan. The United States was sending, and this is the story that Secretary of State Richard Murphy met with Indian officials yesterday. This is 7 days before she is murdered, to smooth over controversies arising out of an uneasy India-Pakistan triangle with the United States. The Indian government warned tonight that the United States' supply of new types of sophisticated weapons to Pakistan will escalate tension and set off an arms race in the subcontinent. It seems that the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, with a CIA briefing, had a discussion of the possibility of the Indians making an airstrike against Pakistan. Someone in the CIA told the Senate Intelligence that the Indians would hit the nuclear installation at Kahuta. And according to these reports, the scare within the intelligence community was so great that the intention was to supply weapons to Pakistan to defend themselves against India. And Mrs. Gandhi was furious. Indian officials interpreted the timing of the intelligence leak designed to influence U.S. Congress to provide all the military aid promised to Pakistan, a $3.2 billion five-year package, an increased sale of sophisticated weapons. The sharpest official Indian reaction came over a statement October the 10th, that was 13 days before this, by United States Ambassador to Pakistan, Dean Hinton. You know his name from Central America and various activities around the world, South America. He assured Pakistan that the United States would come to its aid if it was attacked by India. And they wanted to portray India as the aggressor to justify a Pakistan request for E-2C Hawkeye aircraft. So they made out that India was about to considering invading Pakistan, creating the situation for the weapons that are going to Pakistan anyway. Now, the reason India is destabilized by the intelligence community is that Mrs. Gandhi would not favor America over the Soviet Union. She wanted to stay neutral. And India is a huge land mass, and we need the bases all around it from one end to the other, from Asia to the Middle East. And India is just a piece of real estate to be chopped up. Another story, November the 6th, 1984, this is just last week, an investigation of the murder of Mrs. Gandhi is now leading to a new direction. They are going to, the two men identified as Sikh members of her security guard have given unsubstantiated reviews or reports in the newspaper. One of them is dead now, one is alive, that there's a high-level military conspiracy behind the assassination, that it was more than just these two, that the gentleman who survived the gunshots, his name is Satwant, S-A-T-W-A-N-T, and many of them take the last name, S-I-N-G-H. It has religious significance, that's why so many of them have that last name. And he is saying from the hospital that there's this high-level security team working that was supposed to protect Mrs. Gandhi that didn't do it. This was the first information that he was ready to talk or able to talk. And, of course, the high-level conspiracy was blocked out by the doctors, and I'll share that with you in a minute. Now, right after the assassination, November the 2nd, the newspapers were filled with stories. November 1st, also the New York Times, the LA Times, Soviet press steps up hints of involvement in the United States. Now, they were very specific about what they said. They said there's a CIA operation called the BRAHM, B-R-H-M, BRAHMAPUTRA, B-A-H-B-R-A-H-M-A-P-U-T-R-A, BRAHMAPUTRA, that's the name of the CIA formation team. They give all of their operations a title. Their purpose is to foment separatism in India, to encourage the Sikhs, that the Sikhs have close ties to Western intelligence. There are over 100 spies among the extremists that arrested in October after the shootout at the temple. There were Sikh uprisings and terrorists. Many were arrested, and they said that they were supervised by the Central Intelligence in Pakistan. And the Soviet Union, after the murder of Mrs. Ghani, said that terrorism in Washington is a policy. It's a state policy around the world. Now, all you have to do is to look at the countries where the CIA has been involved, including the murder of our own president of the United States, John Kennedy. We went through an assassination coup and the lies that followed, or the attempted blaming of the Soviet Union on their role in trying to kill the Pope. And now Aja is telling how he lied and made up these names. What other conclusions would the Soviet Union have coming out with these opinions? And there's a large article on the allegations of the Sikhs being trained in Pakistan under the supervision of the CIA to keep asking and making demands that were impossible for Mrs. Ghani, particularly with the election coming up. Following that, the New York Times had a long story after the Soviet Union allegations. India investigates plot possibilities. And this is where they identify a man outside of the country who got away, a third man. And there's stories about a clean-shaven man who was in the compound there involved with Mrs. Ghani. They're investigating the people outside of India. And a man named Gianni, G-I-A-N-I, administered the oath for the killing. According to the New York Times, three men vowed in a Sikh shrine in Delhi to kill Mrs. Ghani. The oath was administered by a man named Gianni, who works with terrorist organizations in New Delhi. The entire conspiracy was directed, according to the assailant, who was wounded, by a major general in the Indian Army in the capital of Punjab. And he went on to tell stories of how the conspiracy worked in his accounts of these terrorists. Now, the Satwant, S-A-T-W-A-N-T, Singh, the one who is recovering from the shots, he was shot at, right after Mrs. Ghani was killed. He had been in the village home in Punjab of the terrorists and had been with them before he went back and in New Delhi where she was murdered. Many noted here that I.S. Chauhan, C-H-A-U-H-A-N, who's the leader of the Khalistan movement, that's for separatism, K-H-A-L-I-S-T-A-N, the leader of the Khalistan movement lives in London, and Mr. Gianni lives in Canada. And after the raid on the Golden Temple, the Khalistan people, of course, were furious, and the leader in London is giving the directions from there. Evidently, according to the New York Times, there's talk of an invisible foreign hand behind the killing of Mrs. Ghani. This is, as I say, November the 3rd. A member of her cabinet said, naturally, people will believe that the Khalistans are involved. And we believe they got their training and arms from Pakistan. But, of course, a Western diplomat pushed this aside, just as people push aside any evidence that there was even a conspiracy in the murder of Kennedy as late as 1984. Another story, the doctor says the suspect in the Ghani shooting is out of danger. They're trying to help him. The doctor, as of November the 5th, that's 5 days later, says he's not yet ready to make a statement. He's already leaked out enough for them to go running and looking in London and Canada for see if these people are connected to Rewald in Hawaii or the CIA or the Canadian branch of Rewald. The doctor spoke to a local reporter about Mr. Singh. That's his last name. They might have heard the suspect make rambling remarks. Those are rambling. And they added that such confessions do not have any legal or forensic value. The fact that two men gunned her down, one was killed and one's alive, and he is trying to explain where the information and the vow and the person who told him to kill her, where he's located, and he did in fact visit the location where these people came from before he went back to New Delhi. The doctor, for some reason or other, passes this off. You can't use what he says. I don't know what kind of confessions or law they have in India, but, you know, even if Lee Harvey Oswald said, I didn't kill anybody, they just kill him and say, yes, you did. If you confess innocence, you're shot. If you confess you're guilty but somebody hired you, it's not admissible. The doctor went on and said, he appears to be under tremendous physical pressure. with the pain of the wounds, and he must be under terrific mental pressure following the assassination, which appears to be torn by his religious compulsions. In other words, the CIA training people in Pakistan for separatism to the point of trying to tie up the whole economy, and at the point of death, 200 or 300 people had been killed, telling them back and forth that this is the only time and we want it now, before the elections. They call this religious compulsion because he belonged to a religious sect that was affiliated with the United States. San Jose Mercury, November the 6th, has a top story. Third Sikh sought in a Gandhi assassination probe. The international police from Paris and elsewhere are looking for a third man vital to the murder. He is now thought to be in Canada. A Paris-based police organization wouldn't elaborate on the investigation, but the person who put the assailants under the oath is only known by the name of Gianni. He's believed to have been a follower of Mr. Bindranwale. That was the fellow, Bindranwale. He's the militant preacher, the terrorist preacher, they called him, who was killed when Mrs. Gandhi stormed into the temple because she believed that he was behind troubles that, as she said, she never had anywhere before, that seemed to be coming from the United States and from Canada and Great Britain and West Germany. She identified the places all right before she was dead. And the article says Gianni was believed headed for Canada, where he is believed to have relatives. It's interesting that they knew that he had relatives or knew that he went to Canada, as if somebody along the way who saw him wouldn't pick him up. This is like Licio Gelli walking out of the Swiss jail and going down to South America. Everyone knows the details, but no one's supposed to be involved. Another account about George Shultz going to the funeral. Shultz says the Soviets deny tying the CIA to the assassination. He confronted Soviet Premier Tinhonov, Tinhonov, and at the time of the funeral, and the Soviet Union agent, well, the premier said, "No, we didn't say that the United States killed Mrs. Gandhi. We said that you have state terrorism." Pravda said that the CIA sponsored operations to foment separatism in India, and they quoted an Indian communist paper publication of the allegations. The United States backed the Sikh separatists in the Punjab. So the Soviet Union explained that United States is backing the terrorists, that Gandhi had maintained cordial ties with the Soviet Union, they were the chief arms supplier, that the United States-Indian relations were bad, they were cold, and the Pakistani press had printed information about the relationship of the United States and, again, Dean Hinton and so forth, to the friction between India and the United States. So George Shultz went to the funeral with pie on his face, wanting to act as if the Soviet Union were horrendous in suggesting that we are international terrorists. And they said, "No, we didn't say that you ordered our murder. What we said was that you trained the Sikhs in Pakistan. You trained the Punjab Sikhs to be terrorists, and you encouraged them to do it. And this is what brought on the confrontation and the modus operandi for her murder." The Monterey Herald has a story, November the 7th, five top officers fired in the wake of the Gandhi murder. They removed five of the top-ranking police intelligence from their jobs. A senior government source says more changes were in the offing, more heads are likely to rule. The entire security network will be revamped. The Hindustan Times said that psychotropic drugs were be given to Satwant to draw out details of the crime, and that the two generals, Dhillon and Kular, and former police commissioner, were interrogated following the first drug-induced confessions. Now, this gets really iffy. It can work both ways. If you use drugs to tell him, find out information about who was involved with him, that's one thing. But if you use the drugs to erase his memory and tell him that there was nobody but him and his buddy, then that's another. And I go back to a simple case in the United States of America when Sirhan was forced through hypnosis of Dr. Diamond, hired by the Los Angeles Police Department and District Attorney Evel Younger, to tell how he murdered Senator Robert Kennedy in the Ambassador Hotel when it was Thane Caesar from Lockheed, the security guard. And Lockheed is a cover not only for the CIA and assassination fronts, but it's also a cover for Ronald Rewald, the Howard Hughes organization, and Lockheed. They were to give their agents the cover of working for them, and the Nguyen Bank did. So it was a paycheck from Lockheed of people, often work with assassination teams. So the drug that they're administering there can block from his mind, just as Candy Jones said when she was given sodium pentothal and hypnosis. She could commit suicide, she could be involved in various CIA activities, and the mind could be erased. So they are using drugs on his mind. Now, the story in Counter Spy that I spoke about last week, June to August 1984, tells about Ronald Rewald's the Hawaii office, and it also says that Mr. Welsh, W-E-L-S-C-H, was replaced by Jack Kinchy as CIA chief of station in Honolulu. Under Kinchy, and this is the man who worked for Mullen Incorporated that goes back to William Buckley and Watergate and William Bittman, that's the attorney for Buckley and the entire Watergate group, again, going Whitman to Edwin Wilson, and then on to Raymond Donovan, the same attorney. Mr. Kinchy had another cover operation that was created called Canadian Far East Trade Corporation. Kinchy was to pay its expenses and phone bills. In the exhibits are copies of the Kinchy checks corresponding to the Canadians' phone bills. It says it was listed in the telephone directory under Canadian Far East Trade Company, CIA agent James T. Edwards, aka James T. Bishop, and Jack Porter, aka Thomas Thompson, operated out of Canadian, according to the affidavit. So this Rewald company has areas in Canada that I say could be possible because of so many interconnecting links in common to the place in Canada where this suspect fled, the man who ordered the two men for religious purposes in the Sikh temple to kill Mrs. Gandhi. November the 7th, San Francisco Chronicle. Assassins also hope to kill Gandhi's son, the suspect says. Now he's getting a little better, and Satwant Singh said that he and Bint Singh, the two Sikhs who were responsible on the security force, were supposed to have killed Rajiv Gandhi, now the prime minister, if he was with his mother on the morning of the assassination. Now, if this big plot, this international plot from Germany and Canada, wanted to kill both Gandhis, all they had to do was to wait two or three more days before or after her son was away traveling somewhere, Rajiv. But I'm sure he was home plenty of the time. They lived right there on the compound. She was walking to the office. I believe that this murder, it happened 6 days before the elections in America. The John Lennon hit happened December the 8th, just 3 weeks before the president is to take in his inauguration for the first time. I believe that the timing of these things is very important, and that when the stories broke in India, 2 weeks before the murder of Mrs. Gandhi, in the Indian Times, about the Hawaii office, the CIA office of Mullen, and an article that mentions Lynn Nofziger and George Bush and Ronald Reagan, I believe that the intelligence community or Mrs. Gandhi was very nervous, particularly since the confrontations going back from August to October about the role of the CIA and the terrorism with the Sikhs. And she may have freaked out and realized who told her, advised her of the military group to go in and shoot the Sikh temple, which I say created the excuse for her murder. So that she had, if her son was there, it was okay. But if this was a large plot, if they really wanted to get them, they wouldn't do it two different places necessarily. It'd be easier to take two of them on the same day. And I wonder if Peter Ustinov, the British actor, was like the umbrella man at Dallas, that the day that Ustinov came for the appointment with the movie, unbeknown, I'm not going to say, although many, many actors worked for the intelligence community more than you ever dream or realize, let's say he was innocent. I'm sure he was innocent. He was working with Mrs. Gandhi. He's sitting in a room, and she's to walk from her house to where Ustinov is, and that is the day they're to shoot. There must have been a day, because it didn't matter whether the sun was there or not. They were going to get rid of Indira Gandhi, and her intelligence and the police there and the papers were linking from August to October to her death, early weeks of October, to the Central Intelligence Agency, to a man who's now president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, who worked and was associated with Ronald Rewald, and to George Bush, former director of the CIA, who's going to be elected vice president of the United States. The timing is such that she had to be killed whether or not her son was there. And it was set up something of that day. They did it. If he was there, okay. If not, okay, but get rid of Mrs. Gandhi. Now, I mentioned that I have a friend on the peninsula, not a good friend, but an acquaintance, and I like her, and I called her, mentioned before on the air, her son is in over there in India with the Sikhs, and she's a Sikh. Her husband is, she's from Germany, but she is a American Sikh. I don't know if her husband's Indian, born Indian or not. I don't know. And the minute I called her, I called the day after the assassination on Mrs. Gandhi, the first thing she said to me was, and I think I told you before, the KGB did it. And I said, well, why would they do it? And she said, that's a good question. And I shared that with you last week. Well, our Monterey Herald had a large story this week, almost a half a page. I've never seen such a big article, except maybe when they declare World War III. There's a picture of the head of the Sikhs in this country, the Western Hemisphere, Yogi Bhajan, B-H-A-J-A-N. The writer for the Monterey Herald is Calvin Demon, D-E-M-M-O-N. And this is the big lead thing. Warns of World War III in speech here. The KGB killed Mrs. Gandhi, the Sikh says. Now, he's the head of 250,000 Sikhs in the Western Hemisphere. He came to Monterey, our little Monterey County, with the Presidio War School, the Defense Department, Sikhs at Fort Ord, and he talked about prelude to World War III. He said it wasn't the Sikhs, it was the American CIA, it was the KGB who did it. And he's talking at an ashram over by Del Monte Beach and telling the Sikhs from the Monterey community, who killed Indira Gandhi? The Russians. They wanted weaker Rajiv Gandhi, who succeeded his mother. She was trying to relieve the grievances of the Sikhs, but it said the Soviet Union wants to destroy a democracy and create a dictatorship by anarchy. This act kicked the Soviet Union out of all the oceans on either side of India, and the CIA will have firm control. He says the trade grip of Russia on India is very heavy. The textiles, the mango, vegetables, Indian shoes, and bananas are produced for Russia. Every product of India is being sold in Moscow, and they have the guts to say the CIA did it. Well, if India has no market for things, if Soviet Union is buying them there, and the Soviet Union is exporting, and the CIA is angry that we are trading back and forth and coexisting, and we want a partner that hates the Soviet Union, there isn't a thing in what he says in this long article, and I'll get back to more of it if we have time. There's a few more I want to go into. But the KGB killed Mrs. Gandhi. This is the prime story that they will try to push. Interestingly enough, the New York Times that same day has a story, strange rumors flare briefly in New Delhi. This has to be stories about Mrs. Gandhi. It says that the rumors that one senior aide was shot and killed trying to shield her from the bullets of the assassins, but then they said it wasn't true, and people were spreading some disinformation. But it says, according to the Indian radio, few Sikhs have confidence in the government-controlled radio and television networks in India. They listen regularly to British Broadcasting, BBC, and the Voice of America for this information of Indian developments. Well, Voice of America is strictly a CIA operation headed by James Buckley, William Shakespeare, the Intelligence Community for Information, U.S. Information, and set up originally by J. Peter Grace, bringing in the Romanian Iron Guard and Nazis, so that they also, on the day that they're to shoot, could get information from Voice of America in a code of any kind or any song, that you kill it tomorrow. There's too much information about what's going on with our work with the Sikhs in Pakistan. It's time to eradicate her. Another story, killing came at troubled time. This is from the Washington Post. India's facing an era of uncertainty. Now, this was written one day after her death. She was murdered the 30th, late at night, but with a clock difference, it broke on the 31st here in the United States. And this story was written in the Washington Post. How would they know? This is one day later. The body is hardly cold. She's just been killed. The death of Prime Minister Gandhi leaves the world's largest democracy facing a period of prolonged uncertainty, with the potential for greater domestic instability, with new tensions at his neighbors, particularly Pakistan. And this article says, it goes on to say, India's main arms supplier, the Soviet Union, had been New Delhi's most constant great power supporter and a principal trading partner since the two nations signed a 20-year friendship treaty in 1971. India has been a major factor in Soviet policies in Asia and beyond, serving in the Soviet view as a counterweight to China, as well as Moscow's closest friend in the non-communist world in Moscow. Some diplomats in Moscow say that Washington's role as a principal arms supplier helped push India into a closer relationship with Moscow. India has been able to count on the Soviet Union to support its position on controversial international questions, such as conflicting Pakistan and Indian claims in the province of Kashmir. India, in turn, declined to comment on Soviet actions in Afghanistan, Hungary, or Czechoslovakia, because the United States has become strong with China and Pakistan, and India is squeezed in the middle. And finally, the President of the United States, 3 days before his election, Ronald Reagan has an interview November the 4th. President Reagan, campaigning in Iowa, criticized the Soviets for saying the United States was involved in the assassinations. This is his quote. "I think it was probably the world's biggest cheap shot in a long, long time. They know better, of course. They have been told we don't like it. I know that human life doesn't mean much to them," he added. "But to take advantage of a tragedy of this kind and try and gain some political advantage was a cheap shot." This is a President of the United States saying human life doesn't mean much to them, when the United States could have been embroiled and been taken over by the entire Nazi regime, which it happened to have happened later after the war, but not during the war, where we combined with them after the war. The Soviet Union lost 20 million men defending, men, women, and children defending their form of government. You may like it or leave it, but 20 million Americans haven't died defending our country yet. And 20 million defended, and Ronald Reagan says this is a cheap shot. He says they know better. They have been told we don't like it. Well, I don't know if they know better. I mean, they survived and weren't so vocal when we said Marina the communist had a role with Lee Harvey Oswald the communist, and that her uncle was in the KGB, and Fidel Castro and the communists wanted to kill the president, or the Pope's assailant worked with the communists, the Soviets, and the Bulgarians. This line has to stop. Next week will be the 20th anniversary of the murder of John Kennedy, and I will spend 1 hour putting together links of Ronald Reagan and this intelligence community that were a part in the murder of that president. And unless the people, just like the Vatican bishops now, get together, unless the people get together and say, wait a minute, we know better. You confront us with your facts, we'll confront you with ours. There won't be any hope in this country. For Ronald Reagan to say they know better when they know what we've done in all those other countries and those dictators that we've put in and the arms we've sent, and the rights of the people suppressed, every Central American country and the school for coups and assassins in Panama, the schools for assassins in the CIA, Ronald Reagan is ridiculous. He's our president, but we have to stop this. Just look, the murder, the witnesses, and the Donovan case. Well, time is up. We'll be back next week. I'll be back with you, the Kennedy assassination and Ronald Reagan and the far right.
This is Mae Brussel. It's KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California.